Praise the Lord. Good song. A good song before a preacher preaches is like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Good song. Take your Bibles, please, tonight. Go with me. The book of John and chapter number 16. The book of John and chapter number 16. Boy, I thank God for his goodness. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on what is going on in the world today. It's a very strange time for Christians. It's a very difficult time in understanding what is happening to our country and what is happening in this world. But I want you to know, going all the way back to the words of Jesus, God laid everything out for us and told us what is going to happen and told us what to do once it happens. And I want to preach along those lines tonight of what's going on in our world and what are we going to do about it. John chapter 16, Jesus here is getting ready to go to the cross and he's preparing his disciples for some of these things that they are going to face in their generation. But it's not just for their generation. It's God's inspired word for our generation and even future generations that we understand a little bit more of what's happening in the world. John chapter 16, let's begin with verse number 1. Jesus' words here say, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me, on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Heavenly Father, thank you for the word tonight. And God, I pray tonight, God, that your word would come forth and meet the needs in every heart. Lord God, we as God's people, Lord, are in a world where the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, is ruling. And God, I pray tonight that you take thy word and help every Christian, Lord, to hear what you said. And I pray that, God, our hearts would be prepared for what we see and what will happen in this world. So bless us tonight with thy word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus wanted his disciples to know some things. He wanted his disciples to know some things that were not very pleasant and that were going to take place, but these were things that they had to prepare their heart and their mind for. And Jesus said, as he was going to go to the cross and die, he was preparing them for what they would see afterwards. And we see in verse 2, he says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues." And by the way, that is the main place where they would go and preach the gospel, when they would go to a city. And where they would go and try to begin a church, the Apostle Paul would go into the synagogue and he'd begin to reason with them of the scriptures, and he would preach to them how Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament and how Jesus was the Son of God. And God said, the time's going to come when they're going to kick you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, he said, verse 2, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now think of that for just a moment. You know, no evil motive is done with an evil thought. Every evil motive is done thinking, my thoughts are good, my thoughts are fine. You know, Adolf Hitler thought he was doing a good thing by ridding the Jews of the harm and all the trouble that they supposedly caused, although that was not true. He got rid of prostitution. You know, if you looked at Hitler and you asked Hitler tonight, were you a good person? Did you do good? I bet Hitler would say, yeah, I'm a good person. I did some good things. And we see this twisted, deceptive mentality creep into the world that we live in today. We see the evil appeared as good, and we see what is good and right. Are you with me? What is good and right appear to be evil and wrong. We live in a day and age when Christianity is not respected anymore in the world and in most places, but Christianity is persecuted. And why is that? Why is that? And I want you to know something. I want you to know that there is a prince of the power of the air that is in this world today. He has an effect and he has a power in this world. He is not of God. He is not of righteousness. He is not of good. He is evil, but he's deceptive. He makes evil look good. He makes good look evil. It is a twisting, a deceptiveness of truth. And can I tell you, we live in the world and this deceptive mentality is being sucked in and swallowed by so many people. Homosexuality is not wrong. It's just two people that love each other. And what's wrong with love is a twisting of the mentality. It's a twisting of good and right. We're even taught now this transgender movement today is just something that people are trying to be what they really are. Can I tell you what you really are? You are really what God made you to be. That's what you really are. If God made you a man, thank God, be a man. If God made you a lady, be a lady. But hear me tonight, the prince of the power of the air is twisting all good things so that bad looks good and good looks bad. And so those who are unrighteous will want to persecute those who are doing right because they are perceived as evil. He told us that. He told us in verse 2 that whosoever killeth you will think that they doeth God a service. God, I'm getting rid of all these Christians for you, God. And by the way, persecution is coming. President Biden recently signed the Respect for Marriage Act, which virtually silences anyone who has a vocal voice against homosexuality. You can't say anything anymore about a homosexual. Can't say anything about it being wrong. Well, I got news for you. God's word is higher than men's ideas. But it's the prince of the power of the air today that is controlling through his little imps of hell. He's controlling people and controlling minds of men that is twisting the truth. Now, Christian, hear me. Don't get caught up with that. Don't get caught up in a twisting of truth. Know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's what the Bible says. You know how they teach bank tellers to know what is what counterfeit money is? They don't show them a pile of counterfeit money. They show them a pile of real money. And when you see all the real money and you come to a counterfeit, there's something in your mind that sends off these red flags that says, something's not right here. Something's not right about this one. And I want to tell you, that's exactly how a Christian's going to know the truth today. And hear me, when a Christian gets away from God, or they decide to leave church or not be under church, they are going to be swooped into this deceptive mentality. Because the Word of God is not rich in our hearts. The Word of God is not powerful in our lives. It's not controlling us. We're being controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And may I tell you what? That's coming into churches today. We see churches have rock bands up there, entertainment. Turn down the lights and turn up the fog machine like we're at a show in Branson. It has twisted. It's become changed from worship to entertainment. May I tell you tonight, it's a twisted version that is bolstered and really brought about by the God of this world. And we see what he's trying to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So turn over there, please, with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the Bible tells us what he's doing. The Bible tells us what his purpose is and what he's trying to accomplish and how it's accomplished. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice verse number 4. What God says here, it says, verse 3, if our gospel is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'm telling you, it's all about Satan trying to deceive people into not believing the gospel. That's what it is. If he can twist truth and permeate truth being twisted, then that which is light becomes dark, and that which is dark becomes light. And I want to tell you what, this mentality is being filtered throughout the world. And Jesus told his disciples, it's because they know not the Father nor me. God said it's because they have no idea who I am. And so like Romans chapter 1 tells us, they have to create their own righteousness. They have to come up with their own rules of righteousness. And boy, that's what religion is all about today. That's what the world is all about. It's about coming up with their own idea of righteousness that is not filtered through God's word. Can I tell you, the only kind of righteousness there is in this world that is real is the righteousness of Christ. That's it. There's no others. There's no others. But we see this in our world today. You know, I believe that COVID was a test to see how far they could close down churches and shut preachers up. I believe COVID was just a big old plan that the devil came up with and influenced his imps to try to create us. And by the way, did you notice it all came in the name of something good? It all came in the name of, we're protecting the health of the world. We're protecting the health of the people. And by the way, the next thing that comes along will be masqueraded in a pretty package also. The next thing, and by the way, it's not going to stop at COVID. It's going to continue on. It's going to continue on. There will be another next thing because Satan is trying to whittle people down and embolden the ungodly to allow Satan to control this earth and this world. That's why persecution comes. That's why little by little, inch by inch, you know, 20 years ago, we'd have never thought of this transsexual agenda. We never even thought of it. We wouldn't even have had it in our minds. Even the worst Democrat couldn't have come up with that one. Right. But may I tell you what? Don't be shocked, because there's going to be more things come down by this world until Jesus comes. Right. And so I want to give you tonight just some things that we are going to see in this world that the Bible declares. And I want you to see and know what God's people should do about it. So I want you to take your Bible, please, and go with me to 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. 2 Timothy 3. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Don't lose me. I preach very long if you lose me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. God gives us some marks here of what will happen in the latter days. No, verse 6 or verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also. See, God wants you to know this. This know also. Then in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Number one, men will hold in esteem. Men will love themselves. Men love themselves. This world is filled with people who love themselves. You know, there used to be a humility in America. There used to be a people who just had a spirit of humbleness and humility. And you would talk to people just in general, just in society. Well, I'll tell you what, everybody's offended today. You can't hardly even talk about him. You certainly don't want to talk about the Lord. Can I tell you, 30 years ago, you'd go into a restaurant in a store and people would be talking about the Lord. But boy, you got to be quiet about that today. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? That came from Satan. That came from the devil. And may I tell you what? Christians need to be bold once again and stand up for God wherever you go. Hey, plant your 2 feet wherever you go. Plant your 2 feet and stand. You're a Christian. You're a saved child of God. Let them know. Amen. Let them know. You're God's child. You're saved. And let them know they need to get saved before it's too late too. Amen. Men are going to love themselves. Listen to how people talk today. They say things like, I need this and because I deserve this. I deserve all these things. May I tell you, that's a false statement. That's wrong. You know what we deserve? We deserve eternal hell and fire and hell forever. That's what we deserve. We don't deserve anything good. We're sinners. We're depraved. We don't deserve it. But this is the mentality of the prince of the power of the air. Men love themselves. Hear me, don't fall in love with yourself. Fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Fall in love with Him. Man ought not think. Scriptures tells us we ought not think higher than we ought to think. We're to esteem others better than ourselves. Amen. But a sign of these times is everybody selfishly thinking, I deserve better. I deserve more. Oh, I'll tell you something. That's a philosophy right out of hell. But men will love themselves. They'll be covetous. They'll want what someone else has. Proud, blasphemers. They don't care. They are unhinged, immoral people. That's in our world today. And that spirit will creep stronger and stronger and stronger in the world today. The boldness of the ungodly is shocking. There used to be a humility and a respect because they didn't know what God's people knew. And there was a respect. Now they don't care. They're just in love with themselves. Well, you see it when you drive down the road. You see it in Walmart. They don't mind pushing ahead of you. They don't mind pushing an elderly person along the side. They don't mind that. They love themselves. They love themselves. First sign of the prince of the power of air taking over in the latter days. Secondly, morality will be broken down in order for people to follow Satan's direction. Can I tell you, when morality is broken down, it is opening the door for Satan to control the mind. When morality is broken down, can I tell you what? In this little house that we rent, I want to tell you something. It's almost every week somebody comes in that house with marijuana. Marijuana. Walk in the house, smells like marijuana. My wife's come in before me, so I'm kind of worried. You know, that's illegal. It's still illegal. And half of the people that have medical marijuana cards, they ain't sick. They don't need them. Why do they have it? It's this desire and this continuation of moral breakdown in society. People don't mind having sex with some of the opposite sex, one night stand, go to somebody else. It's wickedness. It's controlled by the prince of the power of the air. It is Satan's coming. And Revelation 17 and 18 teach us there's a one world government, there's a one world system, and there's a one world commerce. One world commerce, that's control. I believe a lot of that's going to be controlled by the internet. The internet's going to control all kinds of the commerce. And the Bible even tells us the day comes when you cannot buy or sell without taking that mark of that beast. You won't be able to buy and sell. Perilous times are coming. Jesus warned us about them. He laid it all out there. We just got to understand this. We got to understand God's in control. And by the way, doesn't that prove that the Bible is true?
Amen. Yes.
When God said something 2,000 years ago and it's all laid out right in front of us.
Yes.
And the reason they miss it is because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men that they should believe a lie, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Number three, notice what it says here. Morality not only has to be broken down, men will love themselves, but thirdly here, people will love pleasure and fall in love with pleasures. Look at verse 4. Notice it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, oh, they're proud, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How come it is that sports stadiums are full and church houses are empty? How is it that way? Why is it that so many people can find so many reasons to stay home on Super Bowl Sunday? Why is it we love pleasure? The same people would put out $500, $1,000, $2,000 for a good seat at a sports venue. But to put $10 in an offering plate. It's because we love pleasure. We're a world that loves pleasures. Pleasures. Fun. Fun. Can I tell you, what real pleasure is for a Christian is to live every day with a good, clear conscience. That's a life of pleasure. That's a joyful life. It's a life where you don't have to live with a guilty conscience and feeling bad about who you slept with last night and what disease you could get and what trouble you could get into. It's a clear conscience. May I tell you what? A good conscience is a platform of good pleasure. We took our senior citizens up to Amish restaurant. Man, I'm telling you what, we had the time of our lives.
Amen.
We had a good time. You teenagers can learn something from the old people. Amen.
Amen.
There wasn't one video game on the van. Not one. Amen. I think I only heard a cell phone go off one time. But boy, we ate good, had a good time. You know, when you're God's people, when you fellowship with God's people and enjoy God's people, that's one of the greatest pleasures of life.
Amen.
And you know, I'll tell you what, when someone leaves church or walks away from God, they lose the fellowship of God's believers. They lose that closeness. God's telling us here, He's reminding us in His Word that people are going to love pleasures. The only real pleasures are within the Scriptures, the Word of God. That's real joy, real pleasure. I want to tell you something. Sex before marriage brings great trouble to a Christian.
Yes.
A pornography brings great trouble to a Christian. It gives you a warped sense of what marriage is and how marriage and the romance in marriage should be. It twists the mind. It's produced by the prince of the power of the air to twist the mind because it is a false pleasure. And this is what the world is about. This is what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to give you twisted pleasures that twist a person's mind and heart away from God. And I want to tell you something, young person. You save your heart and you save your mind until the day you get married. Amen. You save yourself. Don't let some boy put his paws all over you. Amen. You're worth more than that. You have some self-respect.
Yes, sir.
Well, if I don't let him have what he wants, well, he may not date me or marry me. I'd consider that a blessing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Let old Roscoe go find some other nasty thing to mess around with. You're God's child.
Amen.
You're God's child. Hey, don't let a boy put his hands all over you. Amen. You know, we live in this world, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's trouble. Can I say to you, avoid the warning signs before marriage because they only increase after marriage. Amen. If you break the rules before marriage with someone, it's easy to break the rules after marriage. Don't let it happen to you. It's the satanic influence of the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Can I tell you what? I've lived a happy, wonderful, joyful life. Not perfect, but I'm happy as an I'm happy as a clam. Amen. Whatever that old expression means, that's me. I'm happy. Amen. I'm happy as a clam. I'm happy. I'm thrilled to wake up every day. I'm thrilled to grab a cup of coffee every morning, spend my time with my Bible and pray, do the things I got to do during the day, kiss my wife. And you know what's really good? I'll tell you what's really good is when you get to lay your head down on the pillow at night. The older you get, the more you're going to enjoy your pillow. Amen.
Amen.
All God's people said.
Amen.
Oh man, I look forward to that time when I crawl into bed. I put that pillow on my head and I hug my other pillow. What are you laughing at? I look forward to laying my head down on my bed at night. And knowing I did something for Jesus that day. Hallelujah. I don't need the pleasures that this stupid world offers.
Amen.
We don't need it.
Amen.
God's got wonderful joys and peaces in his life. If we just give up this satanic idea of lovers of pleasure. You know, I'll tell you what. There's great pleasure in marriage rather than the immorality outside of marriage. Amen. We live in that day, and if your mind is caught up in it, give it to God. Let God cleanse your mind and realize God's pleasures. There's only one way to live life. That's walking in God's path and following him and obeying him. That's the only way to live.
Amen.
That brings great joy and peace. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How many teenagers do you see with pictures of sports stars in their room versus pictures of godly Christians in their room? How many times do we see that? We uphold LeBron, but we criticize that man who standing on the street corner preaching the word. I say to you today, God has told us in his word that men are going to become lovers of pleasure. Number four, society will attempt to take on a form of godliness, but it's all a fake. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I want to tell you something. You better heed that. You better heed that. Because if not, you'll be sucked in even by some TV preacher. The Joel Osteens of this world, who preach a prosperity gospel as the way of salvation, can I tell you what? It is exactly what Jesus said is going to happen. There's a fear to stand for God in our world. And if you have that fear, Satan will take it and he'll make it. He'll push you to twist it. They asked Joel Osteen about salvation. He said, there's many ways. There's many ways to find God. I don't know about you, but my Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's not many ways. It is a false twisting in latter days of the truth. It is an attempt to put on a form of godliness, but it's a fake. It's a fake. There's no power in it. And God warned us about it. Don't follow these false preachers. Don't follow these false prophets. They're just filling their pockets. Fill in their pockets. We need to be aware of it. You'll have those at work who live ungodly. They walk in ungodly paths. They do ungodly things. Oh, but yet they don't mind telling you how much they love Jesus. What are they? They've taken on this form of godliness. My Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You can't live for God and the devil at the same time and claim that you're a good Christian. God says it is a fake. It's a false idea that Satan conjured up so that he can twist truth. Because twisting truth will make the gospel look bad and it will make Satan look good. And the whole purpose is Satan's goal, and he's doing it really good. The whole purpose is so that people will reject God, reject the Bible, while at the same time feeling so good about themselves. It's a satanic problem we're facing in the world today. If you're a Christian and you go to someone's door, they look at you with disdain sometimes. They look at you like you're a lousy, low-down, good-for-nothing person. What are you doing coming to my door telling me I'm a sinner? Who are you? You're no better than me. Truth is, we are no better than anyone else. The only difference is we're just one beggar telling another beggar where we found the bread. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. Number six, number five, whatever number we are going to next. Number next. Notice what verse 7 says. It says, knowledge will increase while truth will decrease. Look at verse 7. Ever learning. Wasn't that our society today? Don't you see people in this world always learning? And you talk to them about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Yeah, I've heard about that sometime. They want to learn about everything except what is true and right. Ever learning. Knowledge is going to increase. You have the internet. You can Google anything you want and find out something about it, maybe twist it. And by the way, Google and some of these things, and we may get in trouble with our website, but that's good. I don't care. But I'll tell you this much. Google will put the liberal, when you put a search on a search engine, they're going to put the liberal website up there first. They're going to put the liberal one. They're going to put the ungodly one up there first. I don't know how many times I've looked up a scripture and it's some liberal mentality. You got to scroll down page number 62. before you find what somebody who actually believes the Bible understands about that passage. I tell you, it's the God of this world. Everywhere you turn, we've even seen Fox, who's supposedly a conservative, little by little get whittled down into believing all these lies. I don't know what you do, but I don't want to watch Fox. Amen. That's free. That's just my opinion. But I think it's a pretty doggone good one. Amen. Number 7, scoffers will increase. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, scoffers will increase. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Notice what he said here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Notice he said in the last days they're scoffers. And you know why they scoff? Because they're lustful. They live in lust. See, lust hates that which is pure. A person full of lust can't attain to somebody who's pure, so they just end up hating them. They despise them. Notice what it says. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking of their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Nothing's changed. God's not coming again. We can live in fun. We can live in all the... Just relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's the philosophy. They scoff at God's word. They scoff. We see this today in our world today. And, you know, I've recently heard of folks that have family members that at one time in their life were serving the Lord, and now they're scoffers. It's because they've swallowed the lies of the prince of the power of the air. So scoffers will increase. Number 7, willful ignorance of truth. Verse 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. They're willingly ignorant. You know what that is? That's dumb on purpose. Yeah. Now think of this. They're always learning, but they're willfully ignorant about what is right and true. They don't want to know it. Oh, listen, I'll tell you something. This is where our world is at today. Willful ignorance of truth. They want their own convenient, comfortable version of truth. They want the truth that feels good, but it's full of sin and lust. It's full of self-centeredness. It's not full of genuine truth. Three things that a Christian has to do. I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Let's stop off there first. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What should we do about it? Number one, what does a Christian do? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice verse 12. Notice verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We should expect that there's going to be some persecution. There's somebody not going to like you. You go to their door and try to give them the gospel. There's some people that aren't going to like you, even in Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's a conservative state. There is not one county in Oklahoma that votes Democrat. There's not one. You say, preacher, are you a Democrat? No. Never. You say, why? You know, in 2012, they voted to take all names of God out of their party platform. When you take God out of your party platform, of course, I was never on that platform to start with. But I'll tell you what, they sure showed who they were when they made that decision. So what needs to happen? What does Christians do? We should expect persecution. We should expect persecution. Expect the people not to like you. Don't live your Christian life in a shell. Stay bold in your witnessing, despite the fact that you'll get persecution. Because persecution should be a badge of a genuine Christian. Persecution is a badge for a genuine Christian. It's an honor to suffer for his name. Now, we don't like suffering. We don't enjoy it. We're not here to walk around and get everybody riled up. But the gospel will do that, plenty. Stand in your boldness. Expect persecution. Expect people not to like it. Expect somebody to really treat you bad and hate you. And, you know, I want to tell you something. Folks, if you have family members that are not godly and you get around them at family reunions or Christmas or holidays, whatever, and you're around them, I got news for you. Just expect them to not like you. And by the way, I think it's interesting. You'll see, and check me out if I'm right, but you'll see whenever the ungodly and the family members that are just ungodly get together, they want to demonstrate how righteous they are. Check it out. They want you to know how godly they are. But don't remember something. They have a form of godliness, but it's a fake. It's a fake. So expect persecution. Don't look at persecution and let it make you cower as a Christian. Just continue to stand. Continue to stand. I don't think you have to stand ugly. I think you just have to keep standing. I like what the old Amish man said. He said, "Sir, I would not hurt thee, and sir, I would do thee no harm. But sir, thou art standing where I'm about to shoot." Amen. You can stand, right? Stand firm. Boy, as soon as the Christians realize that they have to shut up, I want to tell you something. That's the day Satan is going to take many souls to hell. So we have to continue to be strong. Continue to stand on your own two feet. Amen. Amen. Don't let people in the workplace cower at you. I've been in the workplace and I've had people, I've had a boss didn't like me. I don't know why. I'm a nice guy. But he didn't like me. He said nasty things about me. I would even tell you some of the things he said. And I'm saying that we're going to have persecution in this world. There are people that are not going to like us. Expect it. Jesus said it's going to happen. But don't let it change your Christianity. Don't let it change. That very person, by the way, that atheist who's bold, really, I want to tell you something. That atheist's bold. They really don't have any answers. They really think they do, but they don't. They've just listened to the latest foolish indoctrination and sucked it in, swallowed it up. But you know, don't be intimidated by them. They're just lost souls, and they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But a Christian should stand no matter what. Expect persecution. When they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, Jesus said, be glad and rejoice. Be glad and rejoice. The second thing a Christian should do is what it says in verse 14. Look at verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue. Continue. That's a big word. Just continue. Just continue. I have to say a word about Mrs. Stallman back there tonight. God bless her. She's been in this church since 1968. About 50-some years. Amen. You know, I don't have to call her up and say, Miss Stallman, are you coming to church tomorrow? If she's able, she comes. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I don't have to do that to her. She just continues. Amen. She just continues. I thank God for people like that. They just continue. That's what we got to do. We got to continue. You know, when somebody's getting sucked up into the world or sin is when they start falling off, missing Wednesday night, missing Sunday night, missing their Bible reading, can't hardly see them in church. You know, I want to tell you something. God said, just continue. Continue. Keep right on doing. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Hey, there's some blessings for those who just keep on continuing. Continue. Just continue. Continue and keep on going till the day you die. Just keep on continuing. I pray, Lord, give me strength to just keep on preaching and keep on preaching and preaching. I pray for that. I just want to go to heaven one day and just want to, when I die, I just want to go to heaven and say, I finished my course. I kept the faith. I just continued. Hey, the devil sit on your shoulder and say, hey, you know enough. You don't need to go to church that much. You know the Bible. the devil tell you, oh, you don't have to go soul winning, you know. You don't have to tell people about the gospel. That's for other people. Oh, listen, let me tell you, it's for every blood-bought child of God. Get the gospel out. And that leads me to my third point. The gospel has to be spread. What should a Christian do because of these last day things? I'll tell you what. Take every opportunity you can to get the gospel to somebody. Amen. At the gas station, at the grocery store, everywhere you go. Door knock and your neighbors, friends, family. Give them the gospel. You say, they'll laugh at me. Well, good. Good. Count it worthy to suffer for his name. Keep preaching the gospel. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to close there tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice verse number 4. We looked at this verse, but I want you to notice again. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. The God of this world is trying to blind the minds of men. So we've got to get the gospel to every man we can. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, everyone. Everyone here and more, everyone in this state, everyone across the globe. You know, I got to thinking, what if America shuts down all religion like other countries have done? What if we become like Iran or Iraq, where you cannot give out the gospel, they'll take your head off? Who's going to get the gospel? There's going to have to be other churches around this world that pick up the heart of missions and go with it to keep the world right. That's why we got to support missions. It's about getting people saved in foreign countries, because they may be the hub of real, genuine Christianity one day. Yeah. You know, the United States is not mentioned in New Testament prophecy. It's not there. I don't know what that means. But obviously, we're not the light that we have been. And if we're not the light that we have been, somebody needs to take up that light all across this world. And maybe it would be some foreign country that gets saved. Boy, I'd love to see revival sweep across some foreign country. And they'll send out missionaries. And by the way, do you know that's the missionary job? Is to raise, build up a church, and that church send out missionaries? Amen. That's the job of that church too. I want to say to you tonight, get the gospel out. That track rack should be empty every week. And we should find opportunities to talk to people weekly and commit ourselves to going and winning souls. And you say it's a scary thing. Well, hey, learn. Learn. Grab a hold of some knowledge and learn how to talk to people about Christ, that you can win them to Christ. It will ignite your soul. But most of all, it will keep the prince of the power of the air at bay in at least that one soul that gets saved. Amen. Hey, we can't change everything, but God told us to continue in what we've learned, to expect persecution, and he told us to keep on spreading the word, keep on getting the gospel out. Keep on going, keep on plodding forth. Just keep right on continuing. Are you doing that tonight? Are you continuing? Well, let's do what God wants us to do in this latter day. It's going to happen. There's nothing I can do to stop it, but I want to win as many as I can before it's too late. And get as many as we can on that old gospel ship and bring them over safely into harbor. Amen. Continue, expect persecution, and just continue right on giving the gospel. That's God's answer. Let's bow our heads tonight.